Just want to call your attention to how beautiful the worship committee has made the worship space. Next time you get a chance to see Lynn Hedges, would you let her know, right? We're a congregation of mutual admiration, so we support each other and we help each other, and so next time you see Lynn or anybody on the worship committee, would you please let them know what a great job they're doing? On November 5th, 2 years ago, I was preaching at Floresville United Methodist Church. When I noticed close to the end of my sermon, there were members of my congregation that were receiving texts, and it was noticeable their response. Their response was one of confusion and concern at the same time. One of those people was, sheriff deputy in Wilson County by the name of Jeff Doogie. And due to the fact that my dad was a policeman, I have a heart for law enforcement and encouraged law enforcement in my church to come in their uniforms, and including wearing their guns, to worship so they could worship with their family, take communion, and go home and go back to work. And so Jeff did that, and he appreciated that, so he could come and worship with he and his wife and five children. So Jeff left close to the end of the worship service in a hurry. After the service was over, some of the congregants came up and told me that there was an active shooter at the Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church. I had a friendship with a sheriff in Wilson County by the name of Sheriff Tackett. Sheriff Tackett would sometimes call me when there was a person in prison at the jail who needed counseling. And so it's better to have somebody to kind of calm them down and talk with them and visit with them and pray with them when they're having difficult times. So Sheriff Tackett and I had a working relationship, and I would often go to the jail and visit with those that were in jail there in Wilson County. So I called Sheriff Tackett, and I asked him if he needed me. And he said yes. So I went home, and my two sons were there at the house, and they went to the praise service, which was we had three services. I actually turned that off. We had three services in Floresville. They went to the praise service, which is the middle service, and so they were home when I got home, and I told them that there was an active shooter at the Sutherland Springs Church close by, which is 11 miles away. And I told them to please lock the doors and don't answer the doors, because didn't know what was going on. So I picked up my pistol and I put it in my truck, because I'd seen my dad do so many times. And I drove to the Sutherland Springs Church very aware, and I drove very slowly, awake to the possibility of danger. I was the first pastor, chaplain, to arrive. I am a chaplain with alcohol, tobacco, and firearms and explosives, and I got that privilege in Laredo because I would go with them on their raids, and so my job was not to carry a gun or a knife, you know. I did have a bulletproof jacket, but I went over there because a lot of those people in government are fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers, even brothers and sisters, right? And so there are children that, when they go on these raids, there's children in the homes, and these children are sometimes crying, right? They're sometimes disturbed by men with flak jackets and helmets and guns drawn and dogs, right? So they have to have their game face on And my job is to comfort the children and those that are vulnerable. First raid I ever went on, there was a man this side of the border who was making hand grenades for drug cartels. So you can't get the stuff in Mexico, but you can get them here. So they would make hand grenades for the drug cartels. And so ATF had him spotted, and we went in there. And the man's wife was 8 months pregnant, and they had a 2-year-old little girl, and the woman went into Braxton Hicks, right? And the little girl started crying and screaming and was very afraid. So that was my job, was to calm the woman down and give her some water and tell her that this was going to be okay. And to help the child, so I got on the floor and started playing toys with the child and visiting with her, telling her not to pet the puppy. The dogs are coming in, right? So I'm familiar with these sorts of situations. And so I went to Sutherland Springs, not just to be there for the victims, the survivors, but to be there for first responders. Because some of the first responders, many of the first responders were 19, 20, 21, 22, had seen car wrecks, maybe a shooting, heart attacks, but nothing in the category of the carnage that they saw. So I went over there to be supportive of them. And so I was there. Soon after arriving, I had learned that the gunman was dead. The shooter was dead and shot by Stephen Williford, who lived a couple of houses from the church, and heard the gunfire and went over there with his rifle, his AR-15, and shot Devin Kelly. Devin Kelly killed 26 people, 27 if you count the pregnant mother, and we're going to count the pregnant mother. And he also wounded 20 others. My purpose, again, was not to be there just for the victims, but to be there for the law enforcement officers and emergency personnel. It was the deadliest mass shooting in Texas and the largest mass shooting in a house of worship in the United States. I did not predict that I was going to experience post-traumatic stress, but on November the 5th, since that, I take the day off, and I'm around friends, and we talk about that, because I have to take care of myself at that point. Now, I don't always agree with Baptist theology. Am I picking on the Baptist? No. Billy Graham's one of my heroes. I don't always agree with Baptist theology because they put too much emphasis on hell and not enough on grace, okay? However, I have a great amount of respect for them. I have a great amount of respect for the Baptists because they understand what it means to give a testimony. And Methodists are too afraid. You know, we believe that you become a Christian by osmosis or by reading a bumper sticker or hearing a sign or reading the right book or something, right? You go to Methodist church and, oh, I got it now, right? But the Baptists really believe in communicating one's faith, of telling a story of faith, to being a witness of faith, right? And also the Baptists, like the Methodists, also do a pretty good job of supporting each other. And I think that's very important. One of the things that the Baptists did around the Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church is that all the Baptist churches around Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church sent 2 to 3 of their strongest families, not individuals, families, though some individuals went, to join the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs to help in their recovery. It would be the same as if there was a tragic incident in Mason County at a Methodist church, And I sent 2 to 3 families of our strongest families here at First United Methodist Church to go help in that other congregation's recovery. And they went over there and they helped that church recover. I, every Wednesday, would go have supper with them. That church, every Wednesday night, would have supper, and I would go over there and have supper with them and become a part of their fellowship. Sweet, sweet, sweet people. Sweet people. I just love them. And though we make pretty good casseroles, they have a wonderful way of mixing casseroles and fried chicken together. I don't know how it works, but it does, and they do a really good job of it. So I would go over there and enjoy myself with them. I got to tell you what the Methodists did, though. Methodist congregations and individuals from the South, the Southern states, in other words, from Texas and New York, sent close to a total of $150,000. It's amazing. $150,000. New York, you might ask, the Jewish faith communities who understand what that kind of violence is about were very generous with their money and sent that money to Floresville United Methodist Church. What did we do with that money? Well, we paid for counseling for some of the first responders. But also what we did was this. There at Floresville United Methodist barrel races, right? I can't tell you how many barrel races I went when I was pastor of that church, right? And how many times during concerns and celebrations we would pray for horses, right, that got sick, you know. And so we would lift them up and pray for them, and a lot of horsewomen in that congregation. And a few of those horsewomen happened to be therapists. And horses are wonderful therapy animals. Wonderful therapy animals. So what we did is we started Courage Ranch. That's Courage Ranch. Google it up. You'll be inspired. We did a great thing with that. Actually, the Lord did a great thing. We just obeyed the Lord and followed suit. Excuse me. What happens with the brain when they experience trauma is three things. One is, people begin making stupid decisions, like they drink too much, start taking drugs, abusing other people, abusing themselves. That's one thing. Second thing that people do is that they experience anxiety and begin to develop a phobia to where they don't want to go outside, or they don't want to take risk. They don't want to do adventurous things that they would have otherwise done. And the third thing that a person can do, does when they experience trauma, is that they get support and help and therapy from people. And they learn to grieve, they learn to cry, they learn to hit the punching bag, right? Hit the pillow, you know, give the pillow a good workout, you know. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. So what happened is that Courage Ranch developed as a way of helping people deal with the trauma of their experience. So many people from the Sutherland Springs Church, as well as first responders, and now it's to anybody who has any sort of phobia or mental health issue or anxiety or emotional issue, they become candidates and clients of Courage Ranch. And I'm very, very happy. I'm very happy for that. The night of the incident of the shooting, I called a worship service together and emailed and Facebook, we're having a worship service at Floresville United Methodist Church at 7 o'clock. So we gathered and prayed and we mourned. The following Sunday, that next Sunday, members of the Floresville United Methodist Church and surrounding faith communities were armed. Armed, okay? They had their concealed carry permits. Those were their concealed carry permits. By God, they had their guns with them. And they were ready. And I had to remind members of the church not to stare down visitors. We were not going to turn the church into Fort God, okay? We're not going to turn the church into Fort God, as so many churches had done. What we are going to do is what we've always done, and that was what Christ called us to do, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. To this day, they've built a new worship service, a worship center, a worship sanctuary, but the old sanctuary still stands. And the place where people died is where a chair is put with a rose on top of the seat of that chair. They painted it, of course. It's all cleaned up. It's beautiful, actually. And it's open to visitors Monday through Friday, anytime you want to go. But the Bible is still open to the scripture passage that was read November 5th. That fateful Sunday morning. And we read it as the call to worship. It's Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his holy name, for the Lord is good. Even in the midst of that, they still proclaim that the Lord is good. And his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. That's sweet. That's just so beautiful. Such a courageous church, that Southern Springs First Baptist Church, those people are. Now that scripture passage, they don't have the Bible opened up to that scripture passage where Jesus says to carry a sword, right? It's not opened up to a passage about, you know, sinners are going to hell, right? It's not open to a passage about cursing one's enemies. No, it's about a passage of what worship is supposed to be all about. And the pastor of that church was not present that Sunday morning, but his daughter who was singing that psalm was killed as she was singing it. That church has recovered. However, we live in a different time, don't we? But the word for us is still fear not. Let me repeat that. The word for us this morning is fear not. Fear not. Fear not. A lot of churches, great and small, have a safety plan. So we have a safety team, and the trustees has appointed that those folks to be on a safety team, and they're doing some pretty good work. We hired Raven, which is a security company, And they came down here and they worshiped with us on Sunday morning. You didn't know this, right? But they worshiped with us on Sunday morning and they took notes, right? They took notes and they worshiped at the second service and they walked around the facility and they made recommendations. And they said that Mason, First UMC Mason, as well as Mason, Texas, is a low threat community. But I would also add, so was Sandy Hook, and so was Sutherland Springs. But we need to be awake. We need to be aware. And for the sake of the children, we need to have a safety plan so that when a homeless person with a backpack comes into church and starts acting up, you know, we don't stone them to death with a hymnal unless they're threatening us. And we can do that if we have to, for his safety as well as for ours. And one of the recommendations that they're making is that we have fire extinguishers instead of guns, because the last thing that we need is a dead choir member or a child or anybody else. And I know that having a concealed weapons permit for some people is to protect oneself, but shooting another person in a situation like this is a lot different than shooting a snake. I guarantee it. But we need a plan, folks, and we're putting a plan together. We're putting a plan together. One of which, the ideas, is not only having something for a threat, but also a fire threat. You know, this is an old building, right? We have attic space, right? We have space on the other side where children are, and they're far removed from the sanctuary where they could be in nursery, right? We need to have a fire alarm system, and we're working at that. We're working at that. And that's a good thing. The other thing that we're in conversation with is with Deputy Joseph Lancaster, who's in worship this morning, is putting together what it would look like so that people don't feel like they have to carry their guns to church. What would it look like to have a deputy, to hire a deputy on Sunday morning who is able to assess a threat, right, in the event that one happens, which is a smart thing. Now, this is Texas. I'm not going to tell you not to carry a gun because it's a concealed carry state. At the same time, we need to be sensible about this. We need to be awake and aware so that we do not fear. Now, before worship, I think that bottle right here is now part of our communion. You know, that antibacterial soap that I put my hands on, you know. I remember one time I put the antibacterial soap in another church that I served on, then I did this. And one of my church members, no, don't do that, right? So I went and cleaned my hand again, right? Right? So we take our vitamins, we exercise, we drink lots of water. Men, drink water, please, right? you know, take your medicine, go to the dentist, make a dental appointment, get your teeth cleaned, please, once a year, do that, right? Eat less sugar, eat your vegetables, eat all the protein that you want. Buckle your seatbelts, that's what we do. We have to have a safety plan so that we can remember what church is about and that we don't fear. We don't need to be afraid. This is a safe place. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is holy. Let's not forget to learn how to play. My son went to the... Peter went to the coronation, and there's this one math teacher that everybody's afraid of, I'll not say her name, but everybody's afraid of her. And my son went up to ask her to dance, and she said yes, which is a good thing. I think if anything else, I've taught my son well, right? You know, I want to remember that. So, and the other thing is learning how to ask what we need and to communicate and not punish each other or be angry at each other, but learn to communicate and talk with each other. Armando Tristan, who used to at week key service, who now attends the Baptist Church, was telling me how last week he was feeling sick. 2 weeks ago, he was feeling sick. He was outside. He started throwing up, and he felt like he was going to faint. He called his wife, Francisca, to come help him from falling, and she goes to him and says, he says, you know, I'm sick. I think I'm going to faint. And she says, you want me to lay hands and pray for you? And he said, no, I want you to keep me from falling, right? You know, we need Jesus, but we also need the common sense application of what's important for us. And so that's what we do. Church, I'm inviting you to email me, okay? What you think about all this stuff? Let us talk about these things, right? Let us have healthy talk. It's what I call healthy talk, where we openly talk about and we disagree. It's okay to disagree, right? It's okay to disagree. You know, it's not arguing. Disagreeing isn't arguing. But talk with me about what you think about what I just shared. Because we are putting a safety plan together for the sake of all God's creatures. And so that we may have confidence in worship as we worship the one true God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.